Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Today is Wednesday, November 6th, and we're back. We had a great show yesterday with a young singer here, and that was cool. I have received some emails from people asking why we're not on every day. Well, we are going to be on, and today I do have a co-host, and we're going to have fun. No guests today. And thanks for hanging on. I just been trying to get some rest and not be too pressured. Today we're joined by Jen, coming back to us once again.
Hey, thank you for having me again. I'm happy to be back.
Thank you for being back.
Of course.
And we got in touch right before I had my stroke and everything.
Yes.
And then we had to put everything on hold. But you're supporting me, and you said get well and all that stuff, and I appreciate that.
Of course.
So absolutely. How are you doing today?
I'm great. I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And so just a little bit more about you for those who missed the first time. You're from New York, right?
Yep. I just moved here about, I guess, this month. The 9th will be 2 months. Wow.
2 months.
2 months.
What's it like for you? Missing home?
I do miss home. Yeah. I do miss home. I don't miss New York. I miss my family and I miss my friends.
Yeah.
But I do have a great support system out here. I'm in a class, so I have that sense of community.
Really?
Going
so you're
on.
Meeting
yeah.
some people and stuff.
I'm meeting lots of people.
Awesome.
Which is great. People are friendlier here than in New York.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody feels that way, but if you come from the outside and you notice that, then that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
I know that LA gets bad rap sometimes, but having worked here with many people over the years, I've met many great, great people. So, you know, to generalize about LA is not really fair to the city, I think, or to the people, you know.
Yeah.
So, and what did you do in New York?
I'm an actor, writer, director, producer. I kind of do anything and everything in film.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you started that early on in your life?
I started acting, I would say, in high school, maybe even a little bit before that.
Right.
But more seriously in high school. And then when I left that, I just decided I'd rather be on set. So I started doing PAing and then some set design and things like that. And then I kind of just worked my way up. I took a filmmaking class in New York and started directing from there.
Wow, yeah. Very cool. And then you realized what, the opportunities are limited in New York and you moved here?
Not limited. There are a lot of opportunities. It is more of a theater-based town,
right.
But there's a lot of indie film out there. I just couldn't. I needed a break from the city.
Yeah, right.
It's so rough. You know, it's like I picked a hard industry to be in to begin with.
That's true. And you lived in the city?
And I lived in Manhattan. Yeah, Upper Manhattan, Washington Heights.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you pick a hard industry like film or acting or entertainment, anything like that. And then you add living in New York, getting groceries even hard. You know, it's like I'd rather be able to drive to the store, pack my car up, not carry all my bags in my hands.
Yeah, that's true. That makes sense.
It's the schlep.
Yeah. Well, here you have to get everywhere with a car, you know. So
yeah.
Not a lot of public transportation here. But
I love it.
Again, yeah, you know, I mean, you get to do your own thing, you know. So that's very good. Well, thank you for coming
for
to LA, you know.
Yeah.
And we always welcome new people. And like I said, we only have 4 million. We could use a few more million here.
Yeah, right?
No problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have plenty of room on the freeways. For like
so much room. My first time driving on, I think I was on the 405. I was coming back from LAX, dropping a friend off. I just remember being like, oh my gosh, I haven't driven in like 6 years, you know, except when I'd go home to visit my family. But that was just, you know, to the store here and there. But the highways here are twice the size that they are in New Jersey. So.
And the distances are greater
here
than over there, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Not so much in Manhattan. I mean, people talk about here it taking, you know, 40 minutes to go 15 miles, but in New York, it takes 40 minutes to go 4 or 5 miles,
right.
You know, so.
It's better to walk it, right?
Yeah, because, sometimes.
Wow.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, well, but the thing is, everything is distances here. So sometimes, you know, you have friends in I don't know, different places like Orange County, Long Beach, whatever.
Yeah.
And it takes forever to get there.
It's like
you
2 hours, yeah?
Well, no, not necessarily, but even an hour is long to go to Long Beach or something. Yeah, yeah. Orange County is about 2 hours, you know, with traffic and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you try not to get out of the city that much, but then it gets boring, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just, look, I've lived here a long time, so I'm kind of like jaded, but but a lot of people are very happy here, and that's because there's a lot going on here, that's for sure, you know. I mean, New York, by comparison, is a lot more alive, I think, than L.A., and things are a lot faster, and they move a lot, you know, but...
Much faster.
Yeah, when I go to New York to visit... It occurs to me that L.A. is like a graveyard compared to New York. You know, I mean, here at 10, 11 o'clock, everything shuts down.
Dead zone.
Right?
Dead zone. I just moved to Bunker Hill, and I left my apartment at like 11 o'clock. I was like, I'll grab a scooter and just go to a bodega somewhere and get a bottle of water. And it was so creepy and quiet outside. I was like, there's nobody out here.
I know, right? The streets get very empty.
Yeah. So I do miss that bodega life, being able to run downstairs, grab some water, grab some chips, gum, whatever you need, you know,
right.
A sandwich.
Right. But you live in the same kind of style, in a apartment building, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's the same as New York.
It's funny that I ended up downtown. When I came here over the summer I did a 1 month intensive class, which is before I decided to move here. I was staying in Woodland Hills, which is deep into the valley, and I loved it. I was like, I'm out of the city. I have the suburbs. There's a back porch. There's a front porch. I can walk in the grass barefoot. Like it was a total difference, and that's really what I was looking for. And then I moved here, and I was having some trouble finding a spot, and I had a friend who I hadn't been in contact with for like 4 years, and I contacted him. I was like, hey, I'm moving to LA, like, let's reconnect. And he said, hey, I have an opening in my apartment, my roommate's moving out, do you need somewhere to live? And I'm like, yeah,
sure,
I do. So I ended up
but
taking
not the
it.
Ideal area for you. But
not the ideal area.
Yeah,
but
some people never go downtown L.A., you know. I mean, I barely go there.
Yeah.
Unless I really have to, you know. But I can easily say I probably haven't been there in 8 months, a year or something.
Yeah, it's really nice. So there's a lot of great restaurants, a lot of
right.
Like,
they're really
pretty
building
architecture.
It up, you know. But yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. But still, there's homeless. But then again, there's homeless everywhere, you know.
It's everywhere, yeah.
It's hard to clean it up, you know. I was looking in the paper, and you see, like, cops moving those, getting those homeless people to move and stuff and disperse. But then you go, well, where are they going to go, you know? I mean, when they tell them, okay, you got to leave, where do they take them? Where do they expect them to go? They don't even have a car, you know? So they're going to go a mile down the street and do it again, you know?
It's true.
So there's no easy solutions for this.
There's not. You just got to hope that there's a shelter that'll take them or...
Right. Apparently, they're saying that...
I don't even know the options.
Yeah. Well, many of them apparently don't want to go to the shelters, you know? And they don't want to have to deal with... what's involved in it, you know, because they have to work there. They make them, like, clean up and things like that. And some of them just don't want to deal with it. But, you know, but obviously most of it is mental illness. And that's tough, you know, that's tough. I don't
know
what
really
you can
tough.
Do with them. But do they have a lot of homeless in New York, too, last time you were there?
So much more than
really?
Here. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wow. Because that's where they go, where people walk pretty much, where there's a lot of people.
Yeah. You don't really see we don't really have a tent buildup situation like we do here.
Mm-hmm.
But you see them with the shopping carts, and it's what really kills me sometimes is seeing the homeless people that have, you know, the dollies with all their stuff in it. And you just, if you think about where all that stuff came from, was it from their house that they had to leave or whatever, and they're just trying to hold on to whatever it is that they can from their old life, you know? But in the meantime, it's making their commute around the city even harder.
Right. And it's very sad to look at, you know? I mean, here on every off-ramp from the freeway, you have people begging for money and stuff. And after a while, you just become desensitized to it, you know?
I know. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. But we'll see what happens, you know? I don't want to really get into the politics of the city, but there's a lot of controversy as far as how the whole state is being run these days, you know.
I know. They say the homeless people in New York say that the homeless people in L.A. have it good just because they don't have to deal with the winter.
Yeah, right.
That's something, I guess.
But it does get hot here sometimes, you know, where I feel bad for them. I don't see how anybody can be outside when it's 100-degree weather here, you know.
Yeah.
But they do. What can you do, you know? But other than that, you know, I think you're going to like it here. You know, it is very competitive in the entertainment industry, you know, and many people are going after the same jobs, the same roles, the same gigs, whatever.
Yeah.
And you really have to work it hard, you know, to make yourself noticed for people, you know.
For sure.
So, but I'm sure you knew that beforehand, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's really competitive, but there's not really much you can do about competing against others. You can really just kind of compete against yourself.
That's true,
and getting better than you were, you know.
Right, and hope
for the best.
You're
always coming from a different place than somebody else was.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know. Yeah. Have you met a lot of New Yorkers here?
I have, actually.
Yeah, right? There's a lot of people from New York.
I did this paid audience gig where they pay you to be an audience member on, like, daytime TV. And I met this one girl, these two girls, actually, and they had both just moved from New York a few months ago.
Uh-huh.
And this one girl and I started talking just about all the things that I would gripe about living in New York, and she's like, yes, oh my gosh, and people in New York get so salty when you bash it. And I'm like, if you look around when you're standing on the subway platform, no one's smiling. No one even just has a plain, regular face on. Everyone's grimacing. I'm like, really? There's no way all these grimacing people are actually happy.
Right.
And so when I say to my friends who live in Manhattan, I'm like, they're like, oh, the city's amazing. What do you mean you hate it here? And I'm like, tell me what you love. What is it that you love about the city? And they're like, the energy's good. I'm like, yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? I'm like, you're just stuck in the summertime. It's hot and humid and, you know, you're sweating and then you get on the train and it's freezing cold. So you're like shivering and then so many more smells in the summertime too.
That's true, right?
So many more smells in the summer. Then in the wintertime, you're stuck with your big coat on and you always have at least like 5 bags with you. Like you're always schlepping bags around in New York, you know, and then you're covered in sweat and you're not going to take your coat off because then what are you going to do? Hold it?
Right.
Hold one more thing.
That's what I realized also. And then you go into stores and they're really hot in the winter,
gosh.
Right?
It's the worst.
And you got all these layers of clothes on you and you're going into a hot store where the heat is like unbelievable. And you get, what am I supposed to do now?
I know.
Right?
Like, who wants to change their clothes? Like you bring what, 10 items into a dressing room and you have to change your clothes and you start like sweating. You're like trying to put like a silk shirt on. It's like sticking you. You're like, I can't. Can we just have some air conditioning, please?
Oh, God. I guess we do have it good here. We don't appreciate it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. New York is a city where people walk. Here, people don't walk. So it's a whole different lifestyle.
For sure. I definitely appreciate the eye contact that I make with people here. People in New York don't make eye contact at all.
Really?
Yeah. It's very much that feeling of like you're alone in a crowded room. Like everyone's just blowing past you and
wow.
No one even like says excuse me or hello, and everyone's like, yeah, everyone in LA is so fake. I'm like, if my barista wants to be nice to me and ask me how my day is, even if they don't care at all, that's fine by me. A positive interaction is a positive interaction.
That's true, you know, even if it's fake. Yeah, for sure, you know. Wow. Yeah, well, you know, what are you gonna do, you know? I mean, there's a lot of worse places to be in
for sure.
And
like New York.
And so we love LA, like the song says, you know. Do you remember there was a song?
I was going to say, what song?
Yeah, it's probably before your time, I'm afraid to admit. But it was actually around the Olympics of 1984 or something. I don't know. Before you, right?
Yeah, just
there was a song
years.
Called I Love LA by Randy Newman. And that was like let me see if I can find it. It's actually pretty cool. And it was like the hymn of the city, you know, when everybody was with the joy of the Olympics and everything. And it's got a pretty cool, hold on, this is a commercial here. But, they're giving us a long commercial and I can't really skip it. So
that's the best, isn't it? You're stuck
watching
the commercial like that.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hold on a second. Why isn't it it's not letting me do a lot of things like fast forward. What kind of YouTube is this? And they're not letting me. So, okay, well, let's just let the beginning play for a moment. But I always like to play music that, you know. Okay, there you go.
And all the people dressed like monkeys.
I wonder when the song came out. I think it was then.
Had that 80s saxophone.
Yeah. It's from 1983, yeah. Wow. It's going to pick up in a moment.
A little bit too rugged.
Okay, here we go. Now I have it.
I know this song.
Do you?
Yeah.
And the video is like he's driving his car everywhere and stuff.
This sounds like Kris Kardashian did a song when she turned 30, I think, to this exact
this
song. Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a really, really funny song.
Really, I love
100%.
Well,
you should
we'll play it.
Yeah, you should play it. It's a really, really funny song.
Really?
Oh yeah, it's exactly this.
Okay, we'll pick it up in a minute.
She goes, "I love my friends."
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's. So tell me who it is. Kim Kardashian.
It's Kris Kardashian.
Kris Kardashian.
Her mom.
Okay. Oh, so the mom was singing it.
Yeah.
Kris is with a K, right?
Right, yeah. Kris Kardashian, I love my friends.
Okay. Yeah, so she probably picked it up from the, yeah, I love
yeah,
my
it's
friends.
Exactly the song.
Oh, really? So yeah. That's why you thought you knew it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's funny,
oh,
man.
My gosh. My yeah. best friend and I sing this song to each other all the time.
Really?
Yeah, it's really funny.
Yeah, it is.
It's
that.
The same thing.
It is. It's a parody.
November 5th, and now I'm 30. Riding down my highway with my friends at my side. My life without them wouldn't be complete. They are my joy and pride.
And she's also driving a car in LA.
Yeah.
From all my good
That's
friends.
Funny.
About turning 30, I'm the last.
She looks so young
now
here.
We just can't party no more. We're big on carpool, Judy Cleaver, Bible study.
It's the same song.
Cheesecake Factory, Tallarico,
what's his name and brand? Play.
Joyce definitely party. Cheesecake Factory.
Lots of yeah. tennis, baby showers, birthday parties.
Yeah, this is awful. This is
in the best way ever.
I'm telling you.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of Cheesecake Factory, I went to a Cheesecake Factory in Cerritos like a week or two ago for a business meeting. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at their menu and I'm like, it is just as wild as I remember. They literally have the craziest menu. It's like when you go to
a
diner in Jersey or something, there's like five pages and everything's right. like fine print. There's so much on there. I was
know,
like they
have a book, you know,
they have everything. It's crazy
and their portions are huge, you know. I
mean,
you go there, yeah, it's not healthy to eat all that
no
food.
It's a free-for-all.
Yeah, well yeah. they have an excuse to charge you so much money, you know. But
yeah, that's true.
But it's yeah, the Cheesecake Factory is pretty cool. They don't have it in New York, do they?
They do.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a California thing. What
no,
do I know?
Yeah,
you know?
We have them all over Jersey, too.
Are there any places here to eat that you discovered that they don't have back east? Like In-N-Out Burger, which people
Yeah, we
love.
Don't have In-N-Out. We don't have right. Carl's Jr. We don't have Del Taco. I'm right. actually vegan, so all the fast food chains that have vegan food, we don't have back east.
Really?
Which is a total bummer.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten fast food in like 15 years. Yeah. And when I got here, I ate fast food for like a whole week. I was
really?
Just like, I'm going to Carl's Jr. getting a Beyond Burger. Like, it was so exciting.
Is it pretty good, that burger?
It's so good.
Really?
I like the Impossible Burger better.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So there's Beyond and there's Impossible.
Yes, definitely.
And do they sell both of them at the
Carl's Jr. has Beyond. Del Taco, I think, is also Beyond. Burger King does Impossible Burger, which we do have back east. Fat Burger, actually, we don't have back east, and Fat Burger is incredible.
Really?
Yeah, Fat Burger is really, really good. It's like that old fashioned kind of burger joint.
Right.
But they, what they do is they chop all the lettuce and mix it with like the sauce that they put on the sandwich, and then they pile it real high, so your sandwich is massive. It's like it's the best after a long night.
Yeah.
They're 20. They're 24 hours, I think, or they're open really, really late. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one of the
maybe
two.
In the city. Yeah, because here everything closes at 9, I'm telling
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I know the one in Woodland Hills is open late.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
they're open,
maybe
I think,
until
3.
Yeah,
which
wow.
is crazy. Yeah, right on Ventura.
Yeah, yeah, I know that one.
Yeah.
Hmm. Very interesting. Yeah, I stopped eating fast food some time ago, and I'm probably not going to go back to it now that I'm eating healthy and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, tell me what you've been eating on your new diet.
Well, what I've been eating, a lot of vegetables and fruit and olive oil. Lean meat, you know, I mean, I do like meat and stuff. So, that and cheese and yeah, all kinds of things like that, you know,
great.
Olives, nuts, things like that. But, and I'm actually craving those salads and stuff, you know, I mean, you,
yeah, that's
I'm telling you, this food doesn't fill you up.
For me, it's a texture thing. I love like a nice, like chopped up salad with lots of ingredients. I think it's awesome, yeah.
No, absolutely. You know, and I've eaten fast food over the years, and that's enough. You know, I mean, it's just not good for you.
No.
You know.
It's not?
Well, that's a secret, yeah.
You know, every year I try and eat olives, and I just can't get down with olives.
Really?
I try every year, and everyone's like, oh, you got to get the fancy ones. I get the fancy olive bars at Whole Foods, but I try, and I just...
You don't like, you can't...
I just can't do it.
Yeah. It's funny, my daughter's like that, too, and when she was... We were in Israel and stuff, and they... You know, you go to the market, and there's, like, 20 kinds of olives, and she's like, no, I can't... I can't, like, get into it. I'm like, how can you not? I've eaten them all my life, you know? What about pickles? Do you like pickles?
I love pickles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you gotta eat pickles, like, from the Mediterranean again, because they're so different.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, people fall in love with them, you know? So, yeah, there's different kinds. I like all kinds of food and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But
keep some it interesting.
Of them, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Here, there's so much, you know, of different things. It's like... You can eat a lot and not eat the same thing over again.
The food scene here is great.
Yeah.
It's really, really great. I mean, New York has a great food scene, but it's more inclusive here. Like, you could go to a steakhouse and find options for, like, a vegan person or a gluten-free person.
Right.
In New York, it's more you have to go to specialty restaurants. The chefs don't really cater.
Right.
So no one in New York cares about anything.
Yeah,
or just
true.
Doesn't care. They're like, whatever. So.
So when did you decide to become vegan? Is that, like, a long time thing for you?
11 years. In February will be 12 years.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
Definitely.
What was the reason for that? Like, some bad experience with meat or animals?
No, I was a big time meat eater. I would eat steaks and always like medium rare or rare, like beef tartare. Like I was really all about it. But a friend of mine was Greek Orthodox, and for Lent, her mom made her give up everything. And she was like, do it with me, please. I don't want to do it alone. And I was like, okay. And I had really, really bad acne in high school. And for the 2 weeks, I was totally vegan. I was just eating like plants and everything like that. And
it all cleared up?
And it all cleared up.
Really?
I didn't have any, because I have asthma, I didn't have any asthma issues. I like lost a few pounds. My skin looked great. And then I started eating meat again. And I just, you feel like, I don't know, clogged, I guess would be the best word. You just like feel like all like jammed up, you know, you just don't feel right. Like my brain even functions better when I don't eat meat and dairy.
Wow.
So I would do vegan for a month and then go back to eating meat and then vegan for 2 months and then go back to eating meat. And every time, all of my old symptoms would come back.
That's interesting.
And so...
So for health reasons, that's good enough reason.
And then as I keep going, you know, I do it for animals now, and I've really gotten into like animal activism and stuff like that, which is really cool. Yeah, so...
Wow. I know, like on Facebook, they put all these terrible pictures there, and I don't want to see it, you know? I mean, cruelty to animals and stuff like that. It's just unbelievable, you know?
I know.
But, and stuff that's not related to things like that, you know, that we eat and all that stuff. Although, you can see some of that too, you know? But,
yeah.
I don't know, at least, you know, at least you hope that, that the animals you eat are not, like, totally, like... You know, because I think if they're, like, totally stressed out and stuff. It probably comes through in the meat too.
Yeah, the cortisol levels actually rise when they do things to the animals.
Really?
Yeah, and then we end up eating that and things like that.
That makes us not very...
Yeah, I'm like, the last thing I need is more like stress hormone pumping through me. It's exactly what I don't need.
Right, yeah. Well, it sounds healthy. I mean, vegan diet and stuff. So
it depends.
Not?
I mean, there's vegans that just eat, you know, Oreos and pasta, and they say that it made them sick. Yeah, it's all about balance and making sure you're getting your vitamins and things like that.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with people who eat meat at all. You know, like a lot of vegans have a stigma about. You know, everyone's like, oh, is it okay that I'm eating this at the table? It's like, do what you want, you know? Like, the only thing I'll ever do is, like, ask you to taste something. You know, I'll be like, try this. This is amazing, you know?
Right.
I'm also a vegan chef on the side, so.
Really?
Yeah, which is really cool. So I have quite a repertoire of recipes that I like to make for people. And, yeah, I've had a few friends actually go vegan, and that's never really my, MO is to be like, I'm going to make this person go vegan, you know. It's more just like I want people to have an open mind and to try new things. And I ate meat for more than half my life, and
yeah,
you know, it's
just a preference.
Yeah, for sure. And I just feel better.
Yeah,
you know. So
cool.
Yeah, I actually just booked a vegan cooking show, so we're working through the sponsorship right now.
Really?
Yeah, I'm trying to get some sponsors together to cover the closed captioning bit of it, but it's going to be on a bunch of major network TVs. I'm really excited about it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it like? You teach people how to cook, or?
I'll just be making recipes that I make. Kind of my deal in veganism has been to create items that, you know, my mom makes, like household favorites, so that, you know, like if your mom makes bolognese, you know, and you're just like, yeah, I would go vegan, but I just really want my mom's bolognese one day.
Right.
You know, I try and make dishes like that so you can have that alternative and be able to eat it and have it taste really, really good, so that, you know, you can go forward with this lifestyle.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, to other things, I think we beat that one to death.
Yeah, right.
Right? So they're saying here actually that, and this is something that I can relate to because I just quit smoking cigarettes. I smoked cigarettes all of my life, like since I was a teenager.
Congrats. You went cold turkey, right?
I went cold turkey, man.
That's awesome.
Nothing, you know, because the doctor told me, he said, if you keep smoking, you'll be right back here guaranteed, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not what I want to do, you know? If I'm changing my lifestyle, that has to go. So, you know, after 3 days of not smoking in the hospital, I just, like, didn't think about it anymore.
Yeah.
I try not to think about it anymore. There's still urges and stuff. But for the most part, I'm glad I quit. People tell me I'm looking better. My skin looks better. I don't notice that, but people say that they see it. So, whatever. And but they're saying that now they're saying that smoking is also put you at a greater risk of depression and schizophrenia, which is like just another reason to drop it. You know?
I wouldn't have expected that.
Right. But sometimes you might think, well, maybe people are smoking because they're depressed and there's no cause and effect here. You know, maybe it's just something that goes together. And but they're saying they discovered that actually it does have a negative effect on mental health. And that's too bad, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've suffered from depression for many years, but I've been on medication and everything's cool, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the smoking made it any worse or anything, but I know that now without it, and you know, and I also stop smoking weed also, you know.
Yeah.
So that's like a lot.
That's the hard one.
That's a lot of that's a lot of quitting at one time, you know, and the food too and everything. So
it's like there's a little switch in your brain though that when it flicks, it's time,
right?
You know, you're like, okay, I'm good now.
Well, for some people, you know, I mean, because I hear that many people will go through something like that, like I did, and they go right back to their old habits, you know.
Yeah.
So it was a conscious decision to do, but I do have to admit that without this now, I do feel like a little bit of depression sometimes without it. But yeah. I think that's also because I haven't replaced it with something else, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like smoking and marijuana and all that, those are like crutches, you know? And when you don't have them anymore, you got to replace them with something else.
Yeah.
Or you're left with like a very empty life, which is what I'm dealing with right now. Not really empty life, but a lot of empty moments, let's say.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And where you have to actually deal with your emotions and everything.
Yeah, my dad smoked for years and he said quitting smoking, the weirdest part was, you know, not having something in your hand and not having something to do for a few minutes.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's, I mean, I feel like a lot of people replace that void with social media and, right. and you know, just like swiping through and things like
exactly,
that. You know, like,
you know?
Just, you got to go brain dead for a couple minutes a day sometimes.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
And
that's awesome. It's a really hard feat. So congratulations. Yeah,
thank
yeah
you.
For
thank
sure.
You, yeah. I feel I've done something, and people are saying, "Well, you don't realize what a big deal it is," and but it is, you know,
it's a big deal,
you know,
for sure.
And I'm not feeling as much, you know, I'm not feeling that much better than as people said I would,
yeah.
You know, because when they tell you, "Oh, you quit smoking, this is gonna happen, this is gonna happen," but no, I mean, my smell is, the sense of smell is the same. Sense of taste is the same. It's
really?
Not like things taste better or anything, you know. It's just like whatever, you know.
It's been about a month, right?
Yeah. All to right. me, the harder thing is the marijuana, you know, because, man, that, you know, I was around the clock, you know.
That
would lift
that.
You up quite well, you know. And
yeah.
For many years, I used it, I guess, as self-medication, you know, so
yeah, absolutely.
But it helped, you know, it got me through some hard times, and
same.
And for boredom and loneliness, there's nothing like it. It really helps, at least it did for me.
It does help. I mean, for me, I think it helped for a really long time. I feel like recently, the past few months, whenever I smoke, I just end up like throwing my day down the toilet, you
yeah,
know,
right?
And then I'm just like, it's 8 o'clock at night, and I'm like, today was my day off. I had so many things to do. Like, what am I doing?
It does suck up your energy, you know. I mean, I one thing for sure, I'm not as tired as I used to be.
Yeah,
you know,
you're sharper, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
And plus, when I would smoke weed, it made me like want to do things. So I would read more. I would be on the internet more. I would watch movies and stuff, and then I'd go to bed like at 2 o'clock in the morning, and so that made me tired too, you know. Now it's like nothing to do, I'll go to sleep at 10-11 o'clock, you
yeah
know?
You get an actual yeah. full night's
right.
rest,
so I'm more
it's
awake
quite amazing
this way, you know?
Yeah, I've actually quit drinking coffee.
Oh really?
Yeah, my doctor told me I had to go into the hospital like 2 years ago. Actually, I have like a dairy allergy too, but it was they ended up doing all these tests on me, and it turns out I'm allergic to coffee. Not like anaphylactic shock or anything like that, but it just really messes with me and makes me like a little like lightheaded and crazy. So I try and limit it, but when I first moved here, I was just hustling so hard to find work that I was just pounding coffee like one after the other. I was like, it's Starbucks, like I have my very specific drink that I get at Starbucks. I love it so much. So I'm really sad to not be drinking it. So I quit, and I've had in December, I had two coffees total in October, not December.
Right.
Getting ahead of myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But are you able to sleep better? Do you function better without it?
Honestly, I never really drank coffee for energy. For me, it was like a boredom drink.
Oh, really?
You know,
okay.
Like if I'm like, okay, I got to sit down and study. Like, let me entice myself. Let me, my friend and I call it, we have to make it nice.
Right.
So I
got to
get a fun drink and like prep myself, get my desk all nice. And then I can psych myself up to start working.
Yeah. You know, I mean, for me, coffee is relaxing. You know, it doesn't
yeah.
really make me like hyper or anything, but you know, in the morning when you used to, yeah, I don't know how you don't drink coffee in the morning.
I mean, when I wake up, I'm awake. I have like an yeah. on off switch. Like the moment I wake up, like eyes are fully open. I like rise out of bed. Like that's it, you know, but at nighttime when I'm the off switch happens, I'm dead to the world. Like you can't, you could poke me with a stick when I'm sleeping. I won't move.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm still going through like a very light sleep again, because I think I would be so tired smoking weed that I got used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And now when I don't, I'm not as tired.
Yeah.
So the sleep is lighter, you know. And I remember all my dreams. It's like every, I wake up two, three times during the night, and I remember the dreams. You know, I never would remember my dreams before that.
You should write them down. Get like a little sleep journal.
Nah. I remember them.
Yeah, you're like, that's funny.
And they're weird too, you know, I mean, always. Dreams are very weird.
So weird. Right? It's weird how in a dream, like, I'll have dreams about that I'm like at home at my mom's house, but the living room looks like the gymnasium of my high school or something, you know, and in the dream, it all makes sense. But when I wake up, I'm like, that's definitely not my mom's living room, you know?
Right. Like, and what I also don't understand is how you have like surprises in your dreams. I mean, it's like you're telling a story almost like a movie, mm-hmm. and then suddenly something happens and you go, wow, you know, this, I didn't expect this to happen.
Right.
And you go, how does my mind actually create the story?
Yeah, it's all from your own head. How crazy is that? I wish they could project my dreams onto a screen so I could.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And you try to explain them and everything, but there's no reason, rhyme or reason to these dreams, you know? I mean, sometimes maybe it's something you experience during the day.
Right.
Or people or something.
Or your stress levels and things like that, yeah.
But sometimes it's totally unrelated, you know?
Mm-hmm. They say if you have dreams that have water in them, it means like you feel like you're drowning in real life.
Really?
And my first like month here trying to find work, I just had dreams that I was like surrounded by water. Like every night I was waking up more tired than I went to bed. I was like, no.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, some dreams are not pleasant, you know. It's just like.
Definitely.
Yeah. I wish I didn't remember that. And then you wake up in the morning and you realize, or like, you know, sometimes I'd have a dream when somebody's mean to me or something like that. And then you get up in the morning and everything's fine, you know.
Yeah.
And you got to look at them like, you know, why did you do this to me?
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you talking
about? Yeah, absolutely. Do you ever wake up from a really eerie or scary dream and you just wake up and there's this, like, you feel like you're still stuck in it when you wake up.
Yeah.
There's this, like, weird energy that you just can't shake. It takes sometimes to, like, the middle of the day. You're just, like, stuck thinking about it.
Yeah, that does happen to
dwelling
me.
On these, like, details of this crazy dream.
Yeah, I mean, with my friend, it's like I told her, how could you do this to me? She's like, what the fuck?
She's like, how could you think of me like that?
Right, you know? So that's funny, but what can he do, you know? Have you tasted any Krispy Kreme donuts here yet?
No, we have those back east. I had Krispy Kreme one time, but they were from a gas station and everyone was like, that doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
So
you got to be there when they're being made and they're hot, you know?
Yeah, when the light goes on, it says,
right.
That means they're hot now.
Right, hot now.
What's your favorite?
We had several of them now. Now there's only one left and it's in Burbank, so you have to drive all the way there. But yeah, I love them, you know, those glazed ones. So apparently a lot of people like them, right? And there's a story about this college kid. Apparently in Minnesota, they don't have Krispy Kreme. So he discovered that if he drives to Iowa and buys some and then sells them in Minnesota, he can make some money.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, so he started doing that. He's only 21 years old.
Good for him.
And so he'd buy the things for like about $10, sell them between $17 to $20. And you know, he amassed 5,000 followers on social media already.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So where he updates people. Today, I read a story that the company told him to stop it, you know, because it's not, there's no quality control on it. And,
sure.
And, you know, by the time people eat it, it may not represent what the donuts are really like.
That's fair, yeah.
Right? But I guess maybe they got a lot of, like, complaints or something about the way they told him to shut down his operation. So now they're telling him they're actually appreciating what he's doing and they're going to help him out and they're going to we're going to help him achieve his goals, like to debt-free education and things like this, you know, and by selling Krispy Kreme donuts. And they're going to let him be like a like an independent operator of Krispy Kreme. So that's
pretty
cool.
So they're going to let him continue picking him up and...
Probably, or something like that. Maybe they'll provide it to him or
that's
something
cool.
like that. Yeah, and they're going to help him. So, yeah, I mean, after all, he's just promoting them, you know, what the hell?
Yeah, giving the people what they want.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh, that's kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah.
So I like that they were on board.
Yeah, so now maybe they'll have a location in Minnesota after all. and where he'll be operating it or something. I don't know. But that's like a 250-mile drive each way.
Oh, I hope he's selling those donuts for $10 a piece.
Yeah. Wow.
That's so crazy.
Or maybe it's 4 hours round trip. I don't know. But still.
That's still,
4 hour drive, you know, just to get them. And
wonder
I can't
how many
imagine.
Packs he's getting.
Yeah. I mean, how many can you get? You know, maybe you buy 20, 30 boxes or something, you know.
Yeah.
And then you make $10 on each. What, $300 or something? Is that really worth it? I don't know.
I don't know. I guess all in a day's work.
Yeah.
You know? Jeez. So, have you ever had voodoo donuts?
Voodoo? No, I never
I think
heard
they
of those.
Started in Portland.
Really?
I'm not sure where they started. I think it's either Portland or Seattle. But yeah, the first time I had them was in Denver, and I know they have one out here, and they have these like giant donuts that have like cereal on them and like
really?
Yeah, like
and
really colorful. Yeah, really, really colorful, like
yeah.
Vibrant. Like you walk in and
Let
it looks like you're
it up,
in a cartoon.
See if we have them here. Voodoo donuts.
I'm pretty sure
right?
you do, yeah.
Yeah, right? Okay, well, I'm definitely going to check it out because I do like donuts. I don't eat a lot of them. But
you should get the vegan ones because there's no bad stuff in it.
Really?
Yeah, they're great since you're on your health kick.
Oh, they have it at Universal City Walk.
Yeah, there you
Universal
go.
Universal Studios, yeah. Here, Old Town Portland, you're right.
Yeah.
That's where it started.
There you go.
Universal City, Hollywood.
They're so good. The strawberry frosted ones are just.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a real winner.
Yeah, let me look at
like,
the donuts.
Like looking my chops already.
Oh, my God. They do have like Captain Crunch on them and Cheerios.
Oh, yeah.
What are those colorful?
Fruit Loops.
Yeah, Fruit Loops. Wow. They have fruity stuff like. Yeah.
Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I know.
I mean, these look obscene, you know?
I know. It's definitely very food porn.
All right. I'm going to check it out. I'll go to City Walk.
Yeah.
And see it. But obviously, they only have one in town.
Oh, so yeah. And they're always so busy.
Yeah.
The line is out the door. Even in Denver, the line was out the door.
Wow.
And I think they're open pretty late, too. So that's always good.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of late
night
spots.
I just don't like crowds, though. Long lines are not my cup of tea.
Definitely don't go to New York.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I know.
I call it the amusementless amusement park.
Yeah, right.
Just waiting in line forever for nothing.
For everything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
This is funny. This place, I guess, Lithuania, right, in Europe, the capital of Lithuania is Vilnius. And I guess they're trying to attract tourists. So they're... advertising campaign calls it the G-spot of Europe. and the tagline is, nobody knows where it is, but when you find it, it's amazing.
That's actually really good.
Right?
That's fantastic.
I know. So as you can imagine, there's some controversy and stuff over it.
I bet.
But they're saying it's one of the third cheapest destination to go for bachelor parties in Europe and stuff. So,
so what are they known for, like... clubs
I don't know.
And stuff?
I don't know. Maybe, you know? I mean, I don't know what they're known for, but I'm sure it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
You know, it's up in Eastern Europe, and I think probably pretty nice winters or whatever, you know? I don't know. Never been, never heard of it. Well, I mean, I've heard of Lithuania.
But when you find it, I hear it's amazing.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, so keep looking for it.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
That's funny.
Oh, that is funny.
Yeah. And I wanted to talk about this. This is not as happy a topic, but it's been bothering me. I don't know if you heard yesterday about the massacre in Mexico of like families, like mothers and their kids.
No, I actually didn't. I haven't even been online in like 24 hours.
What happened was three mothers took their six children to Mexico. To meet the fathers, whatever, taking a trip, right? And members of a criminal group shot them and burned them alive in their cars. I mean, that's like,
oh my God.
I don't know if there's anything more heinous than doing something like this. The ages range from 8 months to 43 years. And you go,
I just got chills.
Right?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I didn't mean to bum you out, but the thing is that we need to know these things because all this shit is happening right near our border, and Americans can't be safe there, you know? And I always felt I don't want to go to Mexico. You know, I was there a couple times on cruises way back when in the 80s. But you know, when people go to Cancun and Cabo and all these tourist destinations, I'm like, why go there? Go to Hawaii, you know, go to a safe friggin' place, you know. Even Jamaica is safe and stuff. But Mexico, I mean, there's all these gangs and all this drugs and cartels and crime and a lot of, I mean, the government can't handle anything, you know, corruption.
Was there a reason for this happening? Did they have any connection with the family?
Well, they're saying that it was possibly a targeted attack, you know, which I don't know what it means. Why would they target these people necessarily, you know?
Unless they really wanted to see the husband or something, and maybe the husband was the target, so they were trying to hit his
family. Maybe, but maybe they just wanted to shock everybody, you know? But maybe you're right, you know?
But you have to do that to a bunch of kids?
I mean, these
are... In a car? That's like...
And they're members of an agricultural Mormon sect community. They're dual U.S.-Mexican citizens. Wow. That's, you know, that's pretty shocking, and... I can't even imagine the sorrow and the pain that people are going through, their families, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but it's
wow.
Like...
Can you imagine? You're just going to see some family.
Right. And your kids, you know? I mean, my God, you know? And they have a lot of children. I don't know why they're saying 6 children, and then they're saying 3 cars carrying the women and 14 children.
Mm.
So, they were traveling between Sonora and Chihuahua, Mexico. And, maybe there was something. Maybe the fathers were involved in something. You're right.
You never know.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have just been, I mean, you don't know. When people are capable of doing something like that, you don't know
right.
What's going on in their head.
Right.
You know.
But forget about going to Mexico. I mean, I've always had bad feelings about it. And now I'm definitely not going, you know. There's
I have
a lot
friends
of nicer
from there,
places.
And they say some places are really, really beautiful. And,
well, they are beautiful, but the
great.
People, the criminals there are definitely not beautiful. I mean, they
yeah.
do some really, really cruel things. It's not the first time. I mean, they do this to their own people, too. Mm. So that's pretty sad stuff.
That is sad stuff.
Yeah. And finally, Emma Watson says she's not single. She's just self-partnered.
Oh, I read that yesterday. Self-partnered.
That's a good one, right?
That's like, I saw it in reference to someone talking about conscious uncoupling. Like when two people are dating and they just decide together to stop dating, I think is what that is.
Yeah.
They just consciously decide to uncouple and go their separate ways. So now it's, you're, what do you call it? Self-partnered?
Yeah.
Self-partnered.
Yeah. And now there's something called thopling or something when it's three people in a relationship.
Oh, thruple.
Thruple, right.
Yeah.
Thruple, okay.
Thruple, yeah.
Yeah. So that's like the in thing right now.
Yeah.
It came to light when this congresswoman got busted, I guess. You know, her husband released some revenge porn online or her pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and she was reportedly having sex with some of her aides and things like that. And so supposedly they had a throuple there. And so people are talking about it. But I don't know how people can do this, you know. I saw it on TV. And they're showing, like, the three people sitting there. And wouldn't you know, it's usually two women and one guy, right? Because obviously it's always the guy's idea, I'm sure.
You never know. Women are really doing their thing these days, you know?
That's true. That's but a guy, there's no way a guy would be able to handle another guy in his relationship, you know? I don't think it works like that.
I know. That's the thing about 2019, though, is that there's so many options. Whatever you're into, there's an option for
right.
it, you know? If you can think it, if you can dream it, it exists.
That's true, right?
Yeah. You know?
Wow.
That's so funny.
Anything goes.
Did you hear about the cat that crashed the, let me see, I have this in my notes. This, okay, so a black cat halted the Cowboy Giants NFL game.
Really?
Just ran into the middle of the field and was kind of just hanging out, looking at everyone. And it kept running around and guards were trying to chase it off the field. Yeah. And there was a bunch of commentary on it. It was a whole big thing. I even saw a couple videos where they photoshopped the cat intercepting the ball.
I know. They do the funniest things online.
Yeah, for sure.
Those memes and stuff.
Photoshop's
I wonder how the cat
thing.
Got there. Maybe somebody brought him to the game, right?
They said he ran. It was like a stray cat who ran through a tunnel.
Oh,
which is pretty cool.
A stray cat. Okay.
Another really cool thing I read, the NOAA, which is the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration. Mm-hmm. They discovered the largest giant squid ever recorded, which was nearly 43 feet long, and they said likely to weigh almost 2,000 pounds.
Wow,
how crazy is that?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to see that on the beach.
They were doing something underwater and they felt like something was watching them, and they turned around and there's this massive squid behind them just like hanging out. Jeez. Can you imagine?
That's scary stuff, man.
I know. You just the ocean is pretty much outer space.
It
you
is
know?
Right, there's a lot of stuff we don't know about.
Creepy down there.
All right, well, folks, we're out of time. Jen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It was a fun show. And everybody stay tuned, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.